This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
All right, I was praying about what I should bring and saw a little devotion on sin, so I thought I'd talk about sin. And then I read the verse that Pastor Trevor's got for us for this theme, and it just so happens, of course it doesn't just so happen, but there's a good part in here about sin. So we'll read Joshua. So the message that, or the scripture that we've got for our theme at the moment is Joshua 1-9, and our theme is Every Place. So this is entitled Every Place Sin, and I haven't done a PowerPoint and I haven't done any notes, so I'm sorry, you'll just have to write down the notes. There's lots of scriptures tonight, but I'll say them twice for all the guys, so that's all right. So Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So when I was reading that, and it just popped out of me, verse 7 and verse 8, it talks about Joshua and the Israelites keeping the law, that you don't turn to the left or the right, and you'll be successful wherever you go. Meditate on it day and night. And I got thinking about every place we place our foot, where we want to place our foot, or where do we want to go? What things do we want to conquer? And one thing that we need to conquer is sin. So I just got 4 points tonight about how do we conquer sin. So the first one is, what is sin? How do we know what to conquer if we don't know what it is? So what is sin? Basically, sin is just breaking God's law. And how do we find out what God's law is? We have to read the Word. So the Ten Commandments, which most of us would have heard of, is in Exodus 21-20. We're not going to read all of that. But in verse 13, it says, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. And there's a key there. The fear of the God will keep us from sinning. So the laws of the land, we know most of the laws of the land. So things like you shall not murder, most of us know that's not right. Murdering is not right. Whether you're a Christian or not, most people in Australia know that murdering isn't right, and they believe it because it's a law of the land. We understand it. But then there's some areas in the Word which are grey, I guess, in our society, if you like. So the next one I talked about was you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. Now, we all know that if you go to court and you lie in court, it's perjury. But is it illegal to go out down the street and lie about someone? You're not going to get arrested for that. So most people think, I know I'm not allowed to lie in court, but lying to my friends, lying to anyone, does it really matter? And then there are some sins that are in the Word which we don't, or society thinks is okay. In fact, they applaud you when you do these things. So one of them is living together before marriage, or it says in there, do not commit adultery. God's law says do not commit adultery, but in our society it's quite acceptable. It's quite normal, and you're actually frowned on and weird if you want to keep God's command. So the only reason we know what what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's in God's word is to read it. We can't rely on the government. We can't rely on the laws of this land to tell us what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, because that changes. We can't rely on school teachers to give us moral direction. They're not allowed to anymore. We have to read the word. We have to read the word to know what's acceptable, what's not, what's in it. Many years ago, there's a couple that came to this church, and I don't think anyone would remember them, and I don't remember their name, so you don't have to worry, you won't know them. But they came up to Jen and I, and they said, they weren't married yet, and they said, God told us to have a baby. Now, to them, that was quite normal. That seemed quite acceptable. But to anyone who knew the word, they would know that that's not right, because God's word says, you know, you don't live together before you're married. You don't sleep together before you're married. But unless you read God's word, which they didn't know what was right and what was wrong. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. So once again, we need God's word in our life to know what's right or what's wrong. We can also be prompted by the Holy Spirit on what's right and what's wrong. So in Romans 14, we'll turn to that. So Romans 14, 19 to 23, talking about food, mainly food, sacrifice to idols, so it's nothing that we have to worry about nowadays so much, but food and drink. There, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts in his is condemned if they eat, because the eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. So we can cause people to sin by what we eat and drink. Not so much in our culture by what we eat, but certainly if we go out with a young Christian and we have a beer or a wine or something with tea, that could really make them struggle. And there's lots of things that we can do, lots of things that we can say that can make young Christians struggle, people who are not so strong in their faith. So we really need to be careful to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So we have the word to know what's sin. We have the word to know what's right and wrong. But there are also other things too which would be wrong for us to do if it causes someone else to sin. So we need the Holy Spirit also to tell us the right thing and the wrong thing to do. Point number two is, how do we overcome sin? How do we not be a slave to sin? So Jesus died on the cross to set us free from sin. So in John 8, we can turn there. So John 8, 34 to 36. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So the good news is, if we've accepted Christ in our life, we are not a slave, we are no longer slaves, we're sons and daughters. That's how we become free from sin. We are no longer sinners. And I've got to explain the point that we're no longer sinners, but we still sin. So sinners was the place we are before we're saved. Once we're saved, we're no longer sinners, but we still sin. So step one is to be set free from sin. Step two, what do we do once we're believers and we still do sin? Well, in James 4:7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Actually, it says a bit more than that. It says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." And there's the key, to submit to God first, resist the devil and he will flee. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So the two keys there are flee and pursue. So he tells us to flee. And fleeing the evil desires of youth. So don't entertain thoughts that aren't right, or don't dwell on things that aren't right. That's to flee. It doesn't say have a wrong thought is a sin, but entertaining it is. We can read, probably a lot of us know, the story of David and Bathsheba. So it's in 2 Samuel 11. We can turn there. So 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 5. "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messages to her to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from a monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I'm pregnant." So you can imagine, maybe in the old days, David's walking around on the roof, heat of the night, no air conditioning, so you go out into the cool of the night. He looks around and sees someone taking a bath. Now he accidentally glances at her. That's not a sin. You can take a glance over there and you see something you shouldn't. That's not a sin. But David obviously took a second look and maybe a third look. Maybe he was staring. And obviously he was thinking about it in his mind. He's thinking, what can I do next? How can I get to know this woman? Because we see there he actually sent someone to get her. So this is, I guess, a good example of what we shouldn't do, because we all know from that scripture that it led to him sinning. He acted on his desires. So the one thing that we need to do is flee when we get that first look, or when we think that thought, or when something pops into our head that shouldn't be there, and when we're about to explode. You know, we need to not think about it. If someone's wronged us, we don't sit there and dwell on it, because we know we're going to do, if we dwell on it, we're just going to get worse and worse. We're going to have unforgiveness in our heart that leads to death of us. Someone cuts you off in traffic, and it happens to me all the time. I must be just a magnet for that kind of thing, and I get so mad. And I know if I act on it, I just do dumb things. So we just need to flee. We desperately need to flee from those things, otherwise we just get ourselves into so much trouble. And how do we put it? Point number three is, how do we put all this into practice? Fleeing and pursuing. Well, in this building tonight, we have some example of guys who have put it into practice. All these TC guys here in front of us, and people who have been TC previously, they fled their old life. That's an easy thing to say, isn't it? But if you're going to give up your whole life, you're going to give up your job, family, and everything that you know to flee the temptations that you've been set around, that's a huge thing. And it's a really big thing to do, to set aside a year of your life. All you guys need to be congratulated for doing that. So that's what we need to do. We all need to flee. Sometimes it means picking up our life and going somewhere else. Sometimes it means turning off the TV and not watching what we shouldn't watch. Sometimes it means turning off the computer, putting down your phone or your iPad. Sometimes it means getting away from a person who's no good for you. But we need to flee. Then we need to pursue. Without it, we easily fall back into sin. We need to pursue His Word, we need to pursue His Spirit, and we need to pursue His fellowship. The reason why TC has such a big success rate compared to other organisations is because it's not just fleeing, it's not just getting right, but it's pursuing as well. The Word says we need to flee and pursue. And in TC, all the guys are taught to pursue God on a daily basis, pursue His Word, pursue His Spirit, and pursue fellowship with other believers. And this is the key for all of us. We need to pursue time in His Word. We need to pursue His Spirit. We need to sit there in His presence and just soak up His Spirit. We need to pursue fellowship. We need to deliberately come to church and fellowship with other believers and fellowship with Jesus. That's the only way we can be successful, not just fleeing, but pursuing. Sin can be a habit. I was actually talking to a TC guy a little while ago, and he was talking about habits. And I know in my life, if I go to a particular place, that I've done something wrong, every time I go back to that place, I'm reminded of it. And so if we keep on going to that place, if I keep on going to that place, I can actually develop a habit of sinning. But the good thing about habits is we can break them. If we have a wrong thought, this is what I was just thinking about, I was praying with God today, and I said, if we have a habit of sinning, what do we do? And He said, create a habit of speaking scripture over that area. So if we're tempted, we flee, we speak scripture, which is a pursue. So if we have a temptation coming in our life, we can just say, thank you, God, that you've provided a way out, because His scripture says that every time we're tempted, He provides a way out. He's faithful and He will provide a way out. So every time I'm tempted, from now on, I want to say to myself, thank you, God, that you've provided a way out for me. Another key is to forget what's behind. We're all going to sin. But ask for forgiveness and move on. So Paul says this beautifully in Philippians. I forget what is behind and press on towards the goal. I'm sure we've all read that. Most of us have read that scripture, maybe read it 100 times. But you can think of where Paul's coming from. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says. He's actually guilty of murder. I mean, how many people in here have, been guilty of doing the things that Paul was guilty of? He says, I forget what is behind. And that is so hard to do, isn't it, sometimes, because the devil just loves reminding us of what we've done. But Paul learnt the power in forgetting what is behind, in the terrible things that he's done. He asked for forgiveness. He was forgetting what he's done, forgetting what's behind, and he presses on towards the goal. So if Paul can do it, we can do it. And in James 1, 23 to 25, you want to turn there? So James 1, 23 to 25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James says here we need to put it into practice. There's a lot of good teaching out there. All the sermons that are spoken here, they're recorded by Damo, and they're there for you to listen to. They're all free of charge if it's electronic. There's lots of good sermons on the radio, lots of good sermons on podcasts, lots of good books out there. And I know many, many years ago, I used to listen to Joyce Meyer when she was on television. We used to record Joyce Meyer, and I'd listen to her when I come home from work. And Joyce Meyer was someone that I connected with, because she talked, she talked about the Bible in a very simple way, talked about faith in a very simple way, and was able to make it simple to do. So she was always talking about little things that she'd done wrong and the little things you could do, the things you could put into place to do what you've read in the Word. So, it's great teaching out there. Find someone you really connect with. Find a preacher out there that you really connect with. And when they speak revelation into your life, when they open up the Word, put it into practice. Don't forget, like James says, don't forget about it. Don't look in the mirror and then forget what you look like. Put it into practice. And then lastly, point four is be alert. So 1 Peter 5, if you'd like to turn there. So 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Sometimes standing firm against sin is easier than other times. I know in my life, sometimes I'm going along just fine, everything's fine. But then, might be a few weeks later, a few months later, I'm just struggling big time. So it's certainly a cycle in my life. I don't know why or what it is, but I can certainly see a cycle in my life. Sometimes, you get temptations that come along and you're feeling strong in the faith, and it's just like, get out of here, devil. I'm not interested. And I know in other times in my life where it'd be a temptation that'll come along and you do what you shouldn't do, start dwelling on it and thinking about it. And it's just so easy to spiral out of control into what you shouldn't do. And I know in my life, speaking to Pastor Trevor, I know we've found a few keys in my life, and I guess they're keys for everyone's life too. When we get tired, easy to be tempted. So when we're tired, we need to be alert. We need to find out, when we're tired, is it the end of the day or is it in the morning? Or is it, another time? When we get tired, if we work too much, maybe, it's easy to be tempted. I know emotions go up and down too. My emotions go up and down when, you're on a high when you do something, and on a low when something goes wrong. And when I'm down, it's certainly easy for me to be tempted. We look at, I'm not going to turn there, but look at an amazing story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. If you haven't heard this story, Elijah was up against hundreds of prophets of Baal, so hundreds of enemy. Plus, you can imagine there'd be, people from the town there, so there might even be thousands of people against him. So he's one guy coming against all these people, and he wants to perform the impossible. So he builds a stone altar, puts wood on it as well, puts a cow on it, and then, because that's not hard enough for the fire of God to destroy all that, he then puts water on it too. So you can imagine he got this altar made out of stone and wood, and it's soaking wet. And he just comes up with his finger and he goes, and the fire of God falls. And if you read the story, the fire of God didn't just burn up the wood and the sacrifice, it burned up the stones and it burned up the water. That's one big fire. I've seen a few big fires, but that's one big fire. That is huge, to burn up the stones. So here's this guy just performed the impossible. He's seen God perform an absolute miracle, absolutely incredible. And in the very next chapter, 1 Kings 19, we see a lady come along called Jezebel. She says, "I'm going to kill you." And so he takes off running as fast as he can. So here's a guy one day who's performed an amazing miracle, seen God perform an amazing miracle in front of thousands, and the next day one woman threatens him and he takes off running. Why? It's because he just come down for an emotional journey. Like, he's just seen an incredible thing. He's probably gone home that night and go, oh, that was unbelievable, and just relax in front of the TV. And he's not taking guard. He's not being on guard. So when someone comes along to threaten him, he takes off running. And we can be the same. We can come down off a high for whatever reason that is, and then we've just we're not taking guard. We're not being careful with what's going on. I know with when you're giving this message, when you're preaching, there's a lot of preparation gone into this, and there's a lot of emotional energy has gone into writing all this down. And later on tonight, I'll be sitting down in front of the TV going, and that's when I need to be on guard. We also need to be alert in our down times. I know another time that for me that was just dangerous is if I'm not too busy at work. I know it's very, very nice to be busy, but sometimes it's not so busy and I like to hide away and not attract too much attention to myself so I don't get more work. But if I sit down and not do work, I know that I'm very tempted to do the wrong thing. So in our lives, it's also, if being alone or if being not busy is not good for us, if that's a place that we can be tempted, we need to do everything that we can to stay away from those places and those times. We can't just float along. We will be caught. We can't just go along. She'll be right. We need to be on guard. The Bible tells us to be on guard. Now we look at another guy in the Bible who was tempted big time, but he passed. So we need to look at the keys of what he did. So in Luke chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. So Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he, for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, the word, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So you can try and put ourselves in Jesus' shoes or sandals. You can imagine being fasting for 40 days, no one to talk to, no one physical to talk to, it's just God. I can't imagine fasting for 40 days, just incredibly hungry. I know when I get hungry, I'd do just about anything to get some food. But he had 40 days without food. And you can imagine too, just with me, I can imagine on the first day, I'd be like, first day, get through the first day, I'm 2.5% of the way there, I'm cool. Second day, I'm 5% of the way there. Maybe after 4 days, I'm 10% of the way there. I know with me, when I've got a task or something like that, if it's 40 days, if it was fasting, I'd be counting down every day, counting down every hour, trying to work out the percentages of how close I am to getting to the end. And can you imagine completing the fast? I know if it was me completing the fast, it'd be again, we'd go, oh, I made it. Unbelievable, I made it. I would let my guard down. I would sit in my couch, watch the TV and go, oh, I made it. Now I'm going to eat some food. The devil knew that it was a good time to tempt him, of course. The devil is the master at tempting. He tempted him with food. And what a good thing to tempt someone with after a 40-day fast. But Jesus was ready. He was ready for the temptation. He had the answers. He knew the word. He spoke the word. And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." So again, we see Jesus was successful in coming against temptation because he knew the word. He knew what was written in the word. He knew what was right. He knew what was sin and what wasn't sin. He put it into temptation. Every day he spent time in the word. Every day he spent time with his Father. He fellowshiped with the disciples and he put it into practice. So if we need to be successful in our life, if we need to, we all need to conquer sin in our life, Jesus is the ultimate example of what we should do. So to finish off, teaching on sin can be heavy. So this message can be heavy, and there's a lot of people here are feeling condemned. But the good news is, Jesus says in the Word, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We've all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, Jesus has the answers. His Word tells us what sin is. His blood has set us free from sin. He has given us power to put His teaching into practice, and His Spirit helps us to be alert for those times of danger. So at the very start, I was talking about sin. How do we overcome sin? And we overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb, in other words, being saved. So just finishing up now, if there's anyone who doesn't know Jesus and would like to know the power of Jesus, then it's going to give you the opportunity right now to come and know Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus and wants to be free from the slave to sin, just raise up your hand and I'll see it. You can put your hand down. Is anyone else? Yeah, great news. There's a party going on in heaven right now, because there's people in this place who want to be saved. So we'll just we'll pray this short prayer. So if you'd just like to pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I just ask You into my life. I ask You to forgive me of all my sin. I ask You to wash me clean with Your blood. And I just accept Your forgiveness, Lord. I just invite You into my life, and I give my life to You. And I will live for You for the rest of my life. Yeah, come on, give people a hand. So when we're saved, no more condemnation. We are free from sin. We are no longer sinners. That's the first step to conquering sin. And there's a party going on in heaven tonight because people want to give their life to Jesus. They've just given their life to Jesus. It's that simple.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.